This episode was co-produced by Startup Days, the Swiss networking and business event for startups, investors, enablers, and corporates. Check out startupdays.ch to learn more about this year's edition taking place in Bern on May 30th. Again, that's startupdays.ch.
That's the curse of technology spin-offs. I would be surprised if there is one technology spin-off that doesn't have this problem of knowing where to apply that technology. And this is the first step that an entrepreneur in technology has to do. Realize that you're not selling technology, you have to sell a product.
Welcome to the Swisspreneur Show, a podcast about startup stories and learnings from experienced entrepreneurs. If you enjoy listening to our show, make sure to follow the podcast and leave a rating. And now, here's your host, Sylvain.
Gianluca, a very well welcome back to the Swisspreneur Show. It's a pleasure to have you here again.
Thank you very much, Sylvain. Pleasure is mine.
You're the co-founder and CBDO at 7sense Robotics. We have a lot to talk about because your company recently got acquired by ABB. If we look back, you've been on the podcast about 4 years ago. And I guess in 4 years, especially in the startup life, a lot of stuff happens, right? So if you look back, Gianluca in 2020 and Gianluca in 2024, what changed?
That's a good question. So as you said, in a startup, things change very fast. I could say everything changed, nothing changed. At the end of the day, what remains unchanged is the change itself, right? So you're ready to embrace new challenges, to find new solutions. Mm-hmm. I think this never changes.
You're always moving, always developing and adapting to a certain degree.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you start as a startup, you have to build your own path, right? And then you are inventing yourself. Of course, with time, you get more experience, you build confidence, but also problems kind of get larger and larger. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of are new time to time, right? So you always have to experiment, be flexible, have the courage really to go to the next phase.
Absolutely. And you also have a very international background from Italy to Shanghai, Germany, the US. Why did you build a robotic startup in Switzerland instead of any other place in the world that you have been before?
Well, 7sense was born in Switzerland because it's a spin-off of ATH Zurich. Yeah. I was working there as a research assistant where I met the fellow co-founders, and we found the opportunity in Zurich to found a company supported by Vis Zurich, an incubator of the University of Zurich and ATH. And Switzerland is great. Zurich is great. There is a lot of talent. The technology that we are commercializing comes from Zurich, comes from Switzerland. And also, it was already like this back then. And Switzerland is the Silicon Valley of robotics. There are a lot of startups that are, coming to the news. Also from the US, there is more interest in the robotics scene in Switzerland. So I think Switzerland is the right place to be for robotics.
Amazing. That's really good to hear, especially on a Swiss podcast. One thing when you started out that already, stuck out the last time we spoke, you started out with 8 co-founders. 8. That's like double or almost triple than most companies have. How many of the 8 are still working with you?
All of them. It's great, I have to say, to share the journey with so many people, to have many motivated people that joined the company since the beginning. This is a bit the nature of the spin-off from a lab where you had a lot of talented people, a lot of people that were motivated to come into this project. And it's actually also not unique specifically. If you look at robotics startups that spun off from ATH, you might actually find similar cases. Nonetheless, everyone found their own path. And I think that, the fact that they are all with us still, it's a great sign that it was a good thing.
Yeah, 6 years in, right? That is crazy. And that's a very good sign for the whole team. You started 7sense back in 2018. And back then, there were very enthusiastic sort of projections about the robotics market. strong growth, multi-billion dollar market already back then. How did that market develop? Did it happen as projected? Was it better? Was it worse?
Well, the market of robotics for sure grew. I think that it makes sense to distinguish between the different segments of the robotics market. We especially are focusing on the mobile robotics and service robotics without going too technical, but basically robots on wheels, not necessarily with the manipulators, with the robotic arms. And for service robotics, we mean other robots that can be used outside the factories. And specifically, we have been looking at the cleaning market, for instance, autonomous cleaning market. And that for sure grew enormously. Nowadays, if you go to some airports or supermarket, you can actually spot some autonomous cleaning machines that a few years back were unimaginable.
Right.
So this is actually a piece of reality that is touching us and testifies that robotics is actually growing, the technology is becoming more mature, is affecting everyday's lives.
Yeah. And in that regard, what is special about your technology is that you don't build the robots yourself, but you actually build the self-driving technology that is then used in the robots. What is the unique thing that you add that wasn't there before SevenSense existed?
So correct. So we build the navigation technology that makes robot drive from A to B. Mm-hmm. So horizontal movement, right? And this is key whenever you have a robot that needs to needs to move in whatever environment.
Right.
And we use cameras for that. And this has been the kind of a small revolution within the robotics market. We use camera perception, 3D perception, computer vision technology that was spun off from ATH that changed quite a bit the paradigm that was used so far. Because let's say if you look at industrial robotics, for instance, where you have in factory automation, warehouse automation, technology have been static for 20 years or so. And we brought really this latest technology that could bring huge value to the industry.
And it sounds that now you have a very clear focus. When we were speaking last time, you had more the general technology that was new, but you were still sort of finding the right focus. How did you find that right focus? Because I feel many startups are struggling with that. They say there's so much potential in the technology, but where should we focus?
That's the curse of technology spin-offs. I think that I would be surprised if there is one technology spin-off that doesn't have this problem of knowing where to apply that technology. Mm-hmm. And the solution to this is talking to customers, right? I think everyone should say that. Talking to customer because you have to build a product. And this is the first step that an entrepreneur in technology has to do. Realize that you're not selling technology. You have to sell a product. Mm-hmm. And the product as a customer and as an application. And then to that, you can attach price, right? And make revenue with it. So then the question is, how do you identify your customers, right?
Yeah.
and that, again, you have to talk to a lot of people and you have to identify the people that at some point would say, okay, I actually find value in the technology that you're bringing. And I think what we did at SevenSense was a mix of a bottom-up and top-down strategy. Because also we look at the market, we say, okay, we do self-driving technology. So of course, let's go in self-driving cars, right?
Yep.
But even back then, it was already a very competitive market. We could see already a lot of startups, especially from US with huge fundings, right? So it was already kind of a crowded market. The competitive scene was, let's say, not the best. So for instance, the barriers very high, right? All the certification process and so on.
And all the regulations, I imagine, right?
Exactly. So from our side, we said, okay, let's look where robots are. Yep. And then there are robotics in industry. It's been there for 20 years and they're using old technology. Why not talking to those people? So this has been the step that that brought us basically where we are today.
It sounds like it's a bit of a mix, right? Between a strategic approach where you see where's their market potential that is big enough and that is also interesting, but then especially talking to customers, as you mentioned. Once you identified an interesting market segment, how did you talk to the customers? Did you just say, hey, we are this cool ETH spin-off. We would like to grab a coffee or have a chat. Or how do you then further validate and find the right focus for 7sense?
So it's a good question. And indeed, so first of all, you narrow down the field, mm-hmm. like looking at the first principles, right? So when we were still at ETH, before founding 7sense, when we were actually applying to the incubator, to this, I thought, okay, well, there are robots, mobile robots. Let's find mobile robots. There was a trade show in Munich about automation technology for the food and the drink industry. So I took the Flixbus. I went to Munich, nice. And I started to go through booth and booth and ask to, you know, I want to talk to the technical people. And then I had a slide deck that was explaining the technology itself, what was doing. And then there was a big question like, how is this useful to you? Mm-hmm. Right? Open question. That's fundamental because, you know, otherwise you're biasing the survey.
You got to face the truth.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You have to face the truth. And many times people say, oh, wow, like this is impressive. We will not be able to do anything like this. So how about it? Right?
Right.
It took quite a while for us. I think that it took to structure a defined value proposition for our customers is a process that lasts for several years. Like, and we are refining on a daily basis, right? We are learning every day how we can beat this. And, you know, also time to time, you see some competitors, you have to understand how you differentiate with respect to them. Yeah. So it's a process that has to start somewhere and starts with open questions.
What you just said, it sounds so familiar. What I did back in the days, Jim Hopper was the company, not even as close to the complexity that you were dealing with, but we went from Jim to Jim and asked him for feedback. And every time we learned a little something and then adapted the pitch for the next visit, sometimes even in the same day, right? And then you started to learn, oh, this seems to resonate better. And then you start off to tailor your value proposition. Do you remember when you then had this magic feeling of, hey, there might be something, this could actually work? When and where did this happen?
I think... Yeah, so I'm not sure if there is one moment. Mm-hmm. There are a number of moments where you get this validation. Yeah. Because at the end, you talk to people and you start to also ask questions about what are your, you know, what are your pains and so on. And then at some point, you start to make hypotheses. Okay, how do I match what I can bring, right? How can my technology then actually solve the issues? And then you make hypotheses and then you bring them up. And then at some point you realize that the people you're talking to, they are actually using the thesis that you were bringing up. Yeah. So this is a very nice feeling because of course it's a validation of your intuition and the fact that, okay, you're finding your market fit. Yeah. So it is, I think, the key point of building a startup.
Absolutely. So who are your customers today? Where did you then focus on?
So our customers are robot manufacturers, mm-hmm. in particular, mobile robot manufacturers that are building equipment for factory or warehouse automation, yep. or in service robots, specifically professional cleaning machines. Yep. So therefore, we picked two verticals. One is broadly called material handling, automated material handling, mm-hmm. and the other is automated cleaning. Yeah.
Fantastic. So you had a really clear focus after that. You also mentioned you were part of Wies Zurich, and you mentioned, I think, two or three times already. So this seemed to have been a very important, also impactful collaboration. Wies Zurich not only provided you with significant funding, but also supported you in other ways. In what way helped Wies Zurich to actually build 7sense in the end?
Well, Wies Zurich, it's part of ETH. Mm-hmm. So as a spin-off of ETH, of a lab of ETH, where you are a pack of almost like a researchers that starts to do business, offers a very safe space, let's say, where you can start to transition towards the market, right? So you are still at ATH. You can benefit from the infrastructure, from the services. And then also there are technology platforms with engineers that can support you, and also with specialists, for instance, from a regulatory perspective that can support. So it helps really to do your homework, to clean up your stuff before going out in the wild. And I think it's been very beneficial and for sure key in the growth of 7sense.
Amazing. And I also want to talk about another thing that happened in 2021. You were sort of participating in a competition, in a technology challenge that was organized by ABB. We're going to talk about ABB a bit more later on. And you not only got a partnership, but also $7.7 million in funding from them. Was this sort of the year that changed everything for your company?
It for sure changed a lot. But as I said at the beginning, change is constant, right? So you might have bigger changes, smaller changes. This is for sure one of the moments, I mean, when you secure funding and also the willingness of a customer to develop, you know, with you, yeah. This gives a huge propulsion because with ABB by our side, we could really invest into productizing our technology and address key specific needs and, you know, refine our product in a way that helped us now to build the best navigation solution that you can find in the market.
And but when you were doing that deal, I mean, of course, you see the money, you see, hey, we need the money, you see the partnership to really continue to further develop and improve the technology. Did you also have any doubts where you said, hey, if we maybe work with ABB too closely, we might lose potential clients because we're too close to ABB and they don't want to see that or whatsoever?
Well, I think this is generally the risk of choosing strategic investors.
Yeah.
I think we benefited much more than, let's say, the pros were many many more than the cons. I don't think that any customer got scared. Like we had close competitors of ABB mm-hmm. that kept working with us for the years after. So I think that it was clear that also there was a Chinese wall, let's say. that's actually how they used to call it, between the investment part mm-hmm. of ABB and, let's say, the business unit. Yeah. And this was really preserving a level of independence. So they were acting more as a financial investor under that perspective.
Oh, nice. Okay. So that actually made things also from a due diligence perspective very professional to separate the two.
Absolutely.
And can you tell a bit more how you then worked and collaborated with ABB? So you were getting the financial investment, then with the other team on the other side of the Chinese wall, you got the product and technology development. How did that sort of look like? Were these very intense collaborations or how was the work with ABB?
Yeah, so ABB has decided in the past few years to move strategically into the mobile robotics. ABB mm-hmm. Robotics is famous for the manipulator, so for the robotics arm right. mostly. And they acquired a company in Spain to start this business. So we started to have a very close collaboration with them. And I mean, I was also working as an account manager for that relationship. Then we negotiated an agreement, a supply agreement. As you would do with basically any other company, right?
Right.
And it's been very, I would say, very successful. This actually a couple of weeks ago, they launched publicly the first robot with our technology.
Wow.
So this is also a great satisfaction, clearly, because it marks a success of this collaboration that started some time ago. And so far we are very happy with you know, our collaboration.
And this collaboration then got intensified a bit earlier this year. You announced it in 2024 that ABB actually acquired 7sense. How did that happen? Was that sort of just a logical next step, or did you even expect that after the initial investment that this could happen?
So, Seven Sense, let's say, was founded, and also we always kept in mind our mission to build a company, to bring robotics where it's needed the most. We were not looking for acquisition. Mm-hmm. Then it happened that, of course, when you get close to a company and you start to realize that you are becoming a crucial strategic component for that company, then of course you might think that there is some plan behind it. At some point, indeed, we received strategic interest, but also this was while we were planning for our Series B. Mm-hmm. We received strategic interest from more than one player at that point, actually.
Okay.
So this made the entire situation, let's say, quite interesting. And that led eventually to us being acquired by ABB.
Amazing. Because, you know, in that market timing, we were experiencing some downturns, but it sounds like you actually got different options to choose from. And then ABB was sort of forced a bit to acquire you to not lose that possibility.
Yeah, fair enough. Market was in a downturn. Seven Sense was well positioned nonetheless, because we are bringing AI to robotics. Yeah. And as you see a bit of what are the topics, the buzzwords that are running nowadays, right? It has a lot to do with AI, and there is a lot of robotics as well. So we were in a lucky position from that perspective.
When you got this initial investment from ABB, did you already think, hey, an acquisition might happen one day? Or was that even something you were thinking about? Or was it more like, well, that's just an investment as with any other investor, and let's move on and raise the Series B as you originally planned to do?
It might have been in some corner, okay. Right, in some thoughts, but was never, until it really became more clear, this interest was never considered. I can also share that when we share with our team that the acquisition was happening, there was a lot of surprise. There was a lot of surprise, and, you know, the team was not expecting that. Mm-hmm. So maybe yes, but in a few years, and who knows. So it was, let's say, genuine response to our news.
Right. And what actually made you say yes? Because you could also have said, hey, strategic acquisition right now, you know, we can grow so much more on our own. No matter what offer is off the table, we continue building our own company. Why did you decide to sell?
Well, I think there are at least a couple of factors. Clearly, it was a good opportunity for the team to exit at that point. And also with ABB, we felt very much that there was a strong alignment in our mission. Yeah. So that there was a strong interest in maintaining Seven Sense intact. And to help us pursue our mission even more. So I think this is a great outcome as an acquisition within one of the largest robotics company worldwide.
Absolutely. And can you give us any clues about the acquisition amount?
No, that's not disclosed. But something I could share is that when we received strategic interest, the management sat in the room and then said, okay, so what's the number?
Yeah.
The final number was higher than that.
A 2 or 3-digit million? Silence. Okay,
silence.
I see. But you're happy with the outcome, it seems.
We are happy with the outcome.
Fantastic. And then you chose to stay on at Seven Sense. Was that all sort of part of the deal to say, hey, you commit yourself to stay on for a few more years, or how did that work?
So we, let's say, as a team, again, nothing, if you come to Seven Sense, nothing has changed.
Yeah.
And
that's actually pretty cool.
That is actually pretty cool. And this was a promise from ABB, and so far they are really keeping it. So in the sense that, of course, there is some integration to some extent, but it's kept at a really minimal level. Yeah. We are still pursuing our mission within ABB. Of course, there is, let's call it an incentive to remain within the company. But I think what is most important is the fact that it's very interesting. It's again one more challenge, right? Yeah. And as it is really again being in Seventh Sense and having the possibility to expand at a global level, standing on the big shoulder of a tech giant, it's a really nice job. I don't think this is for everyone in the team.
So it's an exciting next chapter for all of you. If you look at the numbers, right, like 7sense is around 40 employees, ABB around 100,000. So it's probably wise to keep the company separate and keep you doing your stuff to not completely kill or overwhelm the company culture to a certain degree.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the key point of minimizing the integration. Company culture, keeping us agile and innovative, has been our strength, and we are very glad that ABB recognized that and want to preserve that.
And on the other hand, I assume you also now have some more synergies that you can lift. What are sort of the short-term synergies that you see? Is that mainly on the commercial side that they can help you to acquire more customers, or how does that play out?
Well, for sure, from the commercial side, there are benefits from, let's say, the production capabilities, operational aspects. There are really many topics where we can learn, we can professionalize, and we can benefit from.
And since you are also as a founder, a shareholder of the company, I also wonder what now changed for you. I mean, you say 7sense is still the same, but probably there's a bit more cash around or some options or something. What changed for you as a founder and as a person, basically?
As a person. So I didn't start 7sense for money, or I think that as an entrepreneur, okay, sure, this can be a nice thing to have or to think of, but it's really about the mission and having fun at work, and this is what should keep you running.
Fully agree. Nevertheless, how did you celebrate? Did you buy something? Did you celebrate the acquisition? What did you do?
Myself, I bought a camper van. So nice. What a guilty pleasure.
Yeah. So you're going to be touring around the Europe probably, or around the globe even.
Yes, that's correct.
Your CEO, Gregory, once said that 7sense's success was due to three factors. So now looking back at this, finding the right customer segment, partnering up with ABB up until the successful exit, what could these three success factors be?
Well, I think the success factor of 7sense is connected to our technology, because we are a tech company. That's what defines us. But of course, this technology is not built by itself, right? But there is a fantastic team behind, and I mean, not only building the technology, but all teams at 7sense really pushing hard and growing the business as much as they can. And then also the ecosystem, the third pillar is the ecosystem that helped us to really get to this stage and get to the point where enable us really to grow the company and build the technology that could be so successful in the market.
So technology, team, and ecosystem.
That's correct.
And now if you look into the future, let's say I give you a crystal ball right here. Where do you see the future of 7sense in a few years down the road?
I mean, 7sense is part of ABB. ABB ABB will decide. What I can think of is 7sense will grow as a technology hub for mobile robotics. I'm pretty convinced about that. And we will have more and more robots worldwide equipped with our technology. So we will manage to have a bigger impact than what we thought would be possible in the same time frame.
And let's say 10 years from now, do you think that the 7sense brand will still be around, or might there have been a full integration by then?
The 7sense brand, we created that. We are clearly attached to that. We have to see in the big scope of things where it will go. I think that 7sense or not 7sense, what matters is that the work that we put into building the technology and the business will make a long-lasting impact.
So that's a difficult prediction to make about the brand, but what about yourself? Will you still be working at 7sense or ABB in 10 years from now?
This one, it's very hard to tell.
Or on to the next
startup. I like challenges and I like change. Yeah. So we'll see. As long as I feel the thrill, I will be part of the game.
You keep going. Amazing. So Gianluca, to wrap up the conversation today, we also have some rapid fire questions for you. So I just give you short questions and you have to answer in one sentence. You ready?
Let's try.
What's your favorite robot if you could choose any?
Well, the robots with our technology, Marvin, I'm very attached to that. The clean one.
And what is your fondest 7sense memory?
I'll go back again to VIST Zurich. When we got accepted at VIST Zurich, I think this was a great, great memory. It was going 0-1.
Yeah, I like that. Are you more of an early bird or a night owl?
I'm pretty balanced. That's I am not the first in the office. I'm generally the last one. So I guess the second one.
Fair. Beer or wine?
Wine.
And coffee or tea?
Coffee, all life.
Of course, Italian roots, right? And the last one, what are you most proud of achieving at or with the whole 7sense team?
We opened a new market worldwide for robotics with our technology using vision for navigation. And we are proving that with our technology, we can be the best. So I think this is one of the best testament that the company can leave.
1,000%. And I think at the same time, we also now serve as a role model to many other ETH students or just entrepreneurs out there to share your story. They can listen to it and they say, hey, maybe I also want to do that one day. I think that's wonderful.
Good luck to everyone.
Absolutely. Gianluca, thank you so much for coming back on the show. It was a pleasure having you again. And we're really excited to see where your journey continues.
Thank you very much, Sylvain. It was a pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, you can support us by rating our show on Apple Podcasts. This way, we can reach an ever-growing number of aspiring entrepreneurs.